First part. Question 25. The power of God. Article 3. Whether God is omnipotent. It is said in Luke 1:37, "No word shall be impossible with God." All confess that God is omnipotent, but it seems difficult to explain in what his omnipotence precisely consists, for there may be doubt as to the precise meaning of the word all when we say that God can do all things. If, however, we consider the matter aright, since power is said in reference to possible things, this phrase, God can do all things, is rightly understood to mean that God can do all things that are possible, and for this reason he is said to be omnipotent. Now, according to Aristotle, a thing is said to be possible in two ways. First, in relation to some power. Thus, whatever is subject to human power is said to be possible to man. Second, absolutely, on account of the relation in which the very terms stand to each other. Now, God cannot be said to be omnipotent through being able to do all things that are possible to created nature, for the divine power extends farther than that. If, however, we were to say that God is omnipotent because he can do all things that are possible to his power, there would be a vicious circle in explaining the nature of his power, for this would be saying nothing else but that God is omnipotent because he can do all that he is able to do. It remains, therefore, that God is called omnipotent because he can do all things that are possible absolutely, which is the second way of saying a thing is possible. For a thing is said to be possible or impossible absolutely according to the relation in which the very terms stand to one another. Possible if the predicate is not incompatible with the subject, for example that Socrates sits, and absolutely impossible when the predicate is altogether incompatible with the subject, as for instance that a man is a donkey. It must, however, be remembered that since every agent produces an effect like itself, to each active power there corresponds a thing possible as its proper object according to the nature of that act on which its active power is founded. For instance, the power of giving warmth is related as to its proper object to the being capable of being warmed. The divine existence, however, upon which the nature of power in God is founded, is infinite and is not limited to any genus of being, but possesses within itself the perfection of all being. Whence whatsoever has or can have the nature of being is numbered among the absolutely possible things in respect of which God is called omnipotent. Now nothing is opposed to the idea of being except non-being. Therefore that which implies being and non-being at the same time is repugnant to the idea of an absolutely possible thing within the scope of the divine omnipotence. For such cannot come under the divine omnipotence, not because of any defect in the power of God, but because it has not the nature of a feasible or possible thing. Therefore everything that does not imply a contradiction in terms is numbered amongst those possible things in respect of which God is called omnipotent. Whereas whatever implies contradiction does not come within the scope of divine omnipotence because it cannot have the aspect of possibility. Hence it is better to say that such things cannot be done than that God cannot do them. Nor is this contrary to the word of the angel saying, "No word shall be impossible with God," for whatever implies a contradiction cannot be a word because no intellect can possibly conceive such a thing. First objection. It seems that God is not omnipotent. For movement and passiveness belong to everything, but this is impossible with God, for he is immovable, therefore he is not omnipotent. Reply to the first objection. God is said to be omnipotent in respect to his active power, not to passive power, whence the fact that he is immovable or impassible is not repugnant to his omnipotence. Second objection. Sin is an act of some kind, but God cannot sin nor deny himself, as it is said in 2 Timothy. Therefore he is not omnipotent. Reply to the second objection. To sin is to fall short of a perfect action. Hence to be able to sin is to be able to fall short in action, which is repugnant to omnipotence. Therefore it is that God cannot sin because of his omnipotence. Third objection. It is said of God that he manifests his omnipotence especially by sparing and having mercy. Therefore the greatest act possible to the divine power is to spare and have mercy. There are things much greater, however, than sparing and having mercy, for example, to create another world and the like. Therefore, God is not omnipotent. Reply to the third objection. God's omnipotence is particularly shown in sparing and having mercy, because in this it is made manifest that God has supreme power, that he freely forgives sins, for it is not for one who is bound by laws of a superior to forgive sins of his own free will. Or because by sparing and having mercy upon men, he leads them on to the participation of an infinite good, which is the ultimate effect of the divine power. or because the effect of the divine mercy is the foundation of all the divine works. For nothing is due to anyone except on account of something already given him gratuitously by God. In this way, the divine omnipotence is particularly made manifest because it pertains to the first foundation of all good things. Fourth objection. Upon the text of 1 Corinthians 1:20, God hath made foolish the wisdom of this world, a commentary says, God hath made the wisdom of this world foolish by showing those things to be possible which it judges to be impossible. Whence it would seem that nothing is to be judged possible or impossible in reference to inferior causes, as the wisdom of this world judges them, but in reference to the divine power. If God, then, were omnipotent, all things would be possible, nothing therefore impossible. But if we take away the impossible, then we destroy also the necessary, for what necessarily exists is impossible not to exist. Therefore there would be nothing at all that is necessary in things if God were omnipotent. But this is an impossibility, therefore God is not omnipotent. Reply to the fourth objection. The absolute possible is not so called in reference either to higher causes or to inferior causes, but in reference to itself. But the possible in reference to some power is named possible in reference to its proximate cause. Hence those things which it belongs to God alone to do immediately, as for example to create, to justify, and the like, are said to be possible in reference to a higher cause. Those things, however, which are of such a kind as to be done by inferior causes, are said to be possible in reference to those inferior causes. For it is according to the condition of the proximate cause that the effect has contingency or necessity. Thus it is that the wisdom of the world is deemed foolish, because what is impossible to nature it judges to be impossible to God. So it is clear that the omnipotence of God does not take away from things their impossibility and necessity.